Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter.
They announced the winner here at Highland Pines of the Occasional Invitational, and they're saying things that we can't say on the air whenever
they were saying bull shirts. I really did.
Yeah, somewhere between not being able to say it on the air and bull shirts is definitely what it was. I'm sure we're on the last page of the leaderboard with how we putted today. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. Everybody's saying fire Joe Espada. This was a very common thing I saw on Twitter yesterday. How much stock do you put on Framber Valdez's meltdown on Joe Espada?
The only thing I'll put on Joe Espada is the fact that at a certain point before it got completely away from you, someone might have been warming up in the bullpen. Some arm would have been ready so that before you squandered the entire lead, you would have had a chance to get one more out and get out of it. That's where I would fault Joe Espada. Other than that, that should be all about Framber Valdez. I saw that Greg Rajan from the Chronicle was saying Framber Valdez lovers and anybody that was with Framber Valdez should stay off Twitter tonight. I think it's ridiculous that he should shoulder as much or more blame than Framber. The only thing that I would fault in that situation is that he might have had someone warming up when he gave up the 3-run bomb.
Caleb says Espada's the dang manager. It's his job to protect his players, especially from themselves. What happened yesterday was unacceptable. Josh from Seabrook, Joe Espada should have yanked Framber out earlier yesterday, but I don't think that he should be fired this year. I find this to be kind of ridiculous, to be honest with you. Like, how quickly that this happened, how quickly that this went down, and how quickly it all happened. And where do you think that Joe Espada could have made the yank of Framber Valdez? Like, it happened quickly. You're up by 5 runs in the fifth inning. You're up 6-1 going in to the fifth inning. Framber Valdez is one of your best two starters. You're in the middle of 29 games in 30 days. One of your starting pitchers is literally suspended for 10 games. Ryan Pressly's like, is he available? Is he not available? In what way should Framber Valdez have been close to being yanked out of that game yesterday in the fifth? Like, once you give up the home run and it's still a 2-run game, do you start to get the bullpen stirring? Like, and Framber was cruising, too. Framber was cruising up into that inning. The bullpen did start getting stirring after the 2-run homer. Like, I don't think there was a single point in that inning where Joe Espada could have made the decision to go to the bullpen and yank Framber Valdez out of that game. I just don't see,
like I said, if
the
you're
scenario
gonna,
there.
If you're going to nitpick, the only thing that I can say that you could possibly be critical of is that there wasn't someone ready sooner. But you're right. I mean, when you look at where they were in the game, they got a 5-run lead. The fact is that his pitch count wasn't way over the top. He actually was managing his pitches for the majority of the first 4 innings. And the fact that it looked like that he was in total control. Now, he gives up the 2 hits, and then he gives up the home run. Okay, at that point, now I should have someone stretching out, loosening up, getting ready. If you want to say that that's on a spot, that's fine. But other than that, I don't know how you can say that that translates into fire your manager. The fact that you're trying to tell me that Joe Espada should be the front and center guy to take the fall for a guy that thinks he's an ace of a Major League Baseball staff, basically just crapping not all over himself but all over his entire team and turning a W upside down into a hard loss to take, That's ridiculous.
50-46, a spot is a joke. Look, he might be, but he's not a joke for his managing of the fifth inning yesterday. I've certainly been critical of Joe Espada and the moves that he makes. Like, his lineup today, I'm not a fan of it. Chaz McCormick's in the lineup against a righty who lefties hit better against. Joey Loperfido should be in the lineup. Is that minuscule? Maybe. Is that nitpicking? Maybe. But I'm going to call it like I see it. Like, I've been critical of Joe Espada. I'm not going to be critical of how he handled the fifth inning yesterday. Is he a joke? Maybe. Is yesterday the reason he's the joke? Absolutely not. 60-30. I'm not a fan of Joe Espada at all. In fact, he's not. He calls him Joe Silas, 60-30 does. Yes, fire him. But for this particular situation, Fromber gave up like 6 runs and 10 pitches. That's the thing. It was boom, 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 boom. Now, here's the – look, Fromber's to blame here. Like, you don't go away from the game plan. The amount of times he was shaking off Yiner Diaz is something that I don't think is great. Joe Espada said after the game he Fromber, kind of lost the game plan, kind of lost it a little bit. He started to make some pitches where I thought he was going to go in a different way against certain hitters, and then he couldn't get back on track. This is why Dusty Baker wanted Martin Maldonado to catch Fromber Valdez. Not because he was like this great receiver. Obviously not because of his bat. I don't even think it was because of his ability to call the game. But what Martin Maldonado would do that Yiner Diaz is not willing to do right now, and Yiner Diaz even said, like, he knows his body, Fromber does. Fromber knows what he wants to do. You know what Martin Maldonado would have done yesterday when Fromber Valdez was shaking him off a time or two? He would have said, time out, Blue,
yep.
And storm out to the mound and say, you're doing it my way. That's why Dusty Baker wanted Martin Maldonado to catch Fromber. Not because he was a better defensive catcher. Not because he was this great hitter, obviously. Maybe not even because, well, the veteran part plays in part of this. But you know what Martin Maldonado does better than Yiner Diaz? He handles a wild horse better than Yiner Diaz. And you know who's a wild horse? Fromber Valdez is a wild horse. And Martin Maldonado could rein him in far better than Yiner Diaz can. And I hope that Yiner learns from this. And I'm not blaming Yiner at all here. But these are the moments for a young catcher where you have to learn. That way you become the veteran that can call time and go out to the mound. Yiner Diaz needs to learn from this moment. Okay, Fromber's shaking me off. You know what? Time out. You go chew out Fromber Valdez on the mound and say, you're calling my game. You're going with the game plan. Yiner doesn't feel comfortable enough yet to do that.
I think that's the other way where this turns into a question to be asked. That is Espada, because it's his first year on the job, because he's still building his relationships and doing the things that he's doing. Was it a situation where he was hesitant to go out or tell someone else to go out? And I think at a certain point, someone's got to get up in Fromber's ass, and you got to chew him out, and you got to do whatever's necessary. And there's no doubt Maldi would have done that, and there's no doubt that there is value to that. But I don't think that, again, that if you want to be critical of Espada, then it's maybe, like I said, if you think that he could have gotten someone up quicker. But other than that, the only thing that I can say is that it's a sad state of affairs when you've got a guy that thinks he's the ace of your staff, that wants to be an ace and paid like it, that has a complete mental breakdown and gives you a whole bunch of I don't, you know, care about, and there's words you can put in there, and that you're telling me that you either got to waste a roster spot or you got to do something because you need a guy that's going to get up in his ass. That's ridiculous.
Poncho says the second he, Fromber, started shaking off the catcher signs, the wimp Joe Espada should have gone out there. Okay, I can listen to that. I can listen to that. But you also expect your players to police that themselves. Like, if it were to happen to Martin Maldonado, Martin Maldonado would have paid the Fromber Valdez a mound visit. We're doing this the way that – and you know what? There was times, too, when Martin Maldonado last year, he got into a Verlander a time or two as well, where Martin Maldonado would literally be on his way to the mound and be like, hey, Josh Miller, come up here. Like, let's come talk about the game plan. Let's have a little bit of a vote here with the three of us. There was more than one occasion where Martin Maldonado, mostly to Verlander, actually, but also with Fromber, where he would go up to the mound, timeout, Blue, we'll start walking to the mound, and he would look at the dugout and be like, come out here. Why? Because they're talking about the game plan, the best way to attack. So Fromber takes the most blame here. If you want to say that Joe Espada should have went out there and like laid down the law, okay, I'll hear that. I think that's a fair point. But that's on Yiner. Yiner is a young catcher, has to take control, even if he's a veteran pitcher. And I can understand that's tough. You have Yiner Diaz, first year as a pro catcher. You have Fromber, who is, you know, he's got pelts on the wall. He has a resume. He has a top five Cy Young finish. Whenever it's Justin Verlander, Verlander's one of the better pitchers of our generation. That is very difficult to do. But as the catcher, you have to become that.
That's how you build up respect and trust as a new battery mate. Because you know that regardless of what your back of your baseball card says, you know that in that situation, you either aren't thinking clearly and thinking straight, or you just need someone to kick you in the behind. And that's where you say, hey, look, listen, we're not losing this game. You have got to get your bleep together, and you have got to dial it back in. We are one out away from getting you a W and getting you off this, and whether we say get off the hill or not, but getting us out of this inning with a multiple-run lead. Instead, because no one felt like they had the skins on the wall or the confidence to go out and do anything to try and reel him in, he basically just cast it off the rest of the game, got teed up all over the place, and you walk off the mound at that point shaking your head going, that didn't end well. I mean, someone's got to be able to reel him in.
Yeah, some texters are saying this wouldn't have happened under Dusty. Maybe not, although Fromber wasn't great second half of last year.
Nope.
I certainly don't think it would have happened with Maldonado, though.
Like, agreed.
A couple of shakeoffs from Fromber, okay. Like, one or two, okay. But I don't think that Fromber Valdez is changing the game plan mid-inning with Martin Maldonado. And this is the truth that Dusty Baker couldn't say last year. Whenever Martin Maldonado was catching Fromber Valdez literally every start, he couldn't go to the post-game press conference and be like, well, Fromber Valdez he's a wild horse that could get off his rocker like that, and we need a veteran catcher who's capable of going out to the mound and getting him back on the wagon. He can't say that because now you're throwing Fromber Valdez off the bus. So why, what did he say? Well, we need a veteran catcher back there. What was he really telling us? We need somebody who can stabilize Fromber Valdez so he doesn't go rogue like we saw yesterday in a 7-run fifth inning.
There's got to be a meeting. There's got to be, because you're right. You do keep that stuff in-house. You don't let it get to the media. You don't, because that's where it lingers. That's where it gets blown up and becomes worse. But at the same time, does this mean that Caratini's got to catch him the rest of the way simply because Caratini, as a veteran, might at least have the stones to go out there and basically try and do that? Because I think Fromber has to be in the conversation, too, to realize, hey, we're protecting you from yourself, but we're also protecting this team from a complete meltdown.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen going forward. And you're going to deal with it, and this is the way it's going to be, because we let you be that wild horse, and you know what you did? You ran completely away into a bunch of manure, and it was too much for everybody to take.
And this is the game within the game, too. Like, a lot of the analytical people, well, catcher ERA, he's just fine with Yiner Diaz. Well, he never worked with Yiner Diaz. But you look at this year. Well, he's got a better catcher ERA going into yesterday's game than he does with Victor Caratini. This is where the analytics can't measure this kind of stuff. Like, the analytics can't measure, well, the guy's going to get off his rocker in the fifth inning, and who is best able to keep him on the rocker. Where can you find that on analytics? Where can you find that on Pro Baseball Reference?
Nope.
Where can you find that on Baseball Savant? Where can these computers tell you, well, here is the best catcher to play when Fromber Valdez gets off his rocker? You can't find that anywhere.
No.
That's why Dusty Baker was right last year when he said, I need a veteran to catch this fragile, mentally weak pitcher.
And that's the thing that people don't realize. There is another side to just analytics. There is a side to, everything to baseball that doesn't involve numbers. It involves the fact that there's a psychological and a mental side to this. There's a eye test that goes with some of the things when you talk about chemistry in the locker room, chemistry on the field, chemistry between battery mates. All those kind of things have to factor in. Maybe not as much as analytics, but they are important and they mean something. Because if you had a guy that had a good relationship that felt like you could say anything to your pitching staff when you're between the lines, then you would add a guy that probably could have reeled him in enough to get you through the fifth inning.
Corey says, do you think that Caratini's a better option to catch Fromber? Is he the vet that could help? I think he's a better option to catch Fromber than Yiner is. Yep. And I know the catcher ERA heading into yesterday's game says different, but you tell me, who would you rather have behind the dish that could better have a better chance of putting Fromber in his place, Victor Caratini or Yiner Diaz? Answer is
Caratini.
Is Victor
it's
Caratini.
It's not even close.
Keith says, I think it could be the opposite, Branham. Diaz just showed Fromber a lesson he won't ever forget. Fromber seems like someone that has to learn the hard way. I don't think that Yiner, and I know where you're coming from here, this is kind of like the Bull Durham, like, okay, here's this young hotshot rookie that thinks he knows it all. Let's teach him a lesson here. I don't think that Yiner's capable of doing that. And Fromber, maybe not to this extreme, has shown in his history that this is a characteristic of Fromber Valdez.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think, Jeremy, when you think about it, we've talked about Yiner and this big step up that he had to make because he's going to be the everyday catcher. Part of being the everyday catcher, again, aside from analytics and what's he going to hit and what's his pop time and all these other things is, How are you going to be able and be capable of balancing all these fragile psyches and egos and all the different personalities that you're dealing with on a pitching staff? Because it is a full-time job. You have to handle the fact that you, as a young rookie catcher, are going to have to deal with a Hall of Famer and figure it out so that you have good communication and that you guys can trust each other. And you got to deal with the Framber Valdez. And you got to deal with other guys that have their particulars and what bothers them and what doesn't and who's calling and who's not. That's a load for anybody. And in his first year to take that and then expect him to do the same things that he's been doing offensively of a year ago, that's a tough job for anybody to take. Unfortunately, in this situation, I firmly believe Caratini's the guy that's got to catch him the rest of the year.
9.506 says the ERA literally measure that. If over time it shows a Del Rey, then you make a change. The problem is this doesn't happen every game. Like, when Framber is rolling and when things are going good, Framber gets into cruise control. Like, you go look at 2 years ago, he had the quality start streak. Like, things were rolling, and when things are rolling and things are going wrong, Framber's really, really good. And you never know when that's going to come. Like, you never know what's going to make that happen. Two starts ago was a little balk, but he was able to escape it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I guess it was the home run. He went rogue. So I understand where you're coming from, 9506, but you never know the time it's going to happen. And I think a veteran's better suited to catch Framber than Yiner. And I'm not pointing blame at Yiner. The blame here belongs on Framber Valdez. And because the blame belongs on Framber Valdez, this is exactly why Framber Valdez is not an ace. 713-780-ESPN, I'll explain. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Vanderford Air. Check them out at VanderfordAir.com. They're the people that you need right now. It is a scorcher outside. It is going to be in the high 90s this week. It's going to be in the triple digits before you know it. And you don't know when your air conditioner might have a problem, but you better darn well be prepared for it. You can get prepared ahead of it by making sure that you have your entire system checked before it gets to be too hot. If you don't choose to do that, I tell you to choose to put this number in your phone because you're going to need it. At some point, whether you know it or not, you're going to need Vanderford Air, 281-557-COOL, and you need them better than anybody else for the reasons I'm about to tell you. Because when you call them, no matter how hot it is outside and how many people have called them, they are committed and let you know that within 24 hours, they are going to be at your doorstep. You call them, within 24 hours, they are there to see you. Doesn't matter how many customers they have. They're going to make sure you get taken care of, and you don't have to sit through multiple days, if not weeks, of the dog days waiting for your system to get fixed. And then it's the 100% money-back guarantee, satisfaction guaranteed, that they do on everything at every time. That means that with the work they do, the parts that they use, the services that they provide, the systems that they install is all 100% guaranteed or your money back. How do you beat that? That means they do the same thing with their plumbing. If you ever need your house repiped or anything to do with your plumbing, it's the same guarantees. That's what you want when you need to rely on businesses that have to get there quickly and do the job right the first time. It's VanderfordAir.com. It's 100% money-back guarantee. It's everything that you want and more because they are dedicated to you. Check them out today and put that number in your phone, 281-557-COOL.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's Occasional Invitational. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We've always teetered on the fact, is Framber Valdez an ace? Is he an alpha? Is he top tier? And yesterday was the exact moment of why he is not. He showed you why he's never going, and he might show it for a 10-game stretch. He might show it for 15. He might show it for 25. Maybe he shows it for an entire year. But in terms of Framber being the alpha of a rotation, being the top-tier guy, being the ace, being the number one, being the Batman, he showed you yesterday why he's not that guy. He lacks the mental side of the game. And look, Yogi Berra, what did he say? 90% of baseball is half mental. Like, it matters. Like, being able to master the mental side is why pitchers are able to extract the most out of themselves. Like, you look at Justin Verlander right now. And look, Justin Verlander, I thought, was a mistake on Saturday when he made that pitch to William Contreras. But that was a one-off. Like, Justin Verlander is really good at the mental side of the game. You look at the aces around the league. Who are guys that are good with the mental side? I think Garrett Cole, really good at the mental side of the game. Corbin Burns recently, really good at the mental side of the game. Framber Valdez, you never know what you're going to get. And if you never know what you're going to get with Framber, if any single point it's a ticking time bomb, he's a forever Robin. He's a forever number two. He's a forever second-tier starter. He is never a Batman. He is never an ace. He's never a Cy Young type. He can't be that guy because he doesn't master the mental side of the game, and you absolutely have to be good at both. Framber has the skill. Framber has the stuff, but going rogue with a game plan, throwing his fastball at 98 when he's better when he's at 94. Framber Valdez lacks the mental side of baseball, and if you lack the mental side of baseball, you're never going to be the best at it.
Plus, Jeremy, when you think about it, and it was chapping my rear end to watch it happen and unfold in front of me, the fact that he was so gone, so far where I don't know if anybody could have reeled him in, that after throwing a pitch, the minute he got the ball back in his glove, he was stomping back up onto the mound as fast as he could to turn around, call his own pitch, and then throw it wherever the hell he wanted to throw it, because he had such just blatant disregard for the game, for his teammates, for the outcome, because he was so rattled and so irked by a situation that he created, by situations that he brought on himself, and instead of being able to handle your emotions, being able to have that dog in you to refocus and dial in when you need to get one more out, to get you through five innings, probably having a lead of multiple runs and giving your chance a really legit chance to win the game, get within another game of first place, and basically be another reason why you're turning around this season. Instead, you're the reason that we can't talk about the positives of this homestand so far and what they were doing last night offensively, because all you can talk about and go back to was that shouldn't have happened, that game should have been won, and there's only one guy to blame. All you people that want to blame Espada, miss me on all that, go ahead and get back on Twitter, go ahead and be heroes. But the fact of the matter is, if you watch the game and you watch how that all fell apart, there's only one guy to blame. He's got 59 on his back. And he's got a whole lot of shaking of his head like a bobblehead when he gets ticked off and screws the entire thing up for the entire team. It's not acceptable for any player to leave his teammates out to dry like that, but it's certainly not acceptable for a guy that wants to be an ace, that wants a massive contract with a lot of years and a lot of money.
But you're right, and I like to diagnose what's the issue. Okay, well, why is a guy struggling? Like, we do this with Hunter Brown. Why is Hunter Brown inconsistent? Why does Hunter Brown struggle? Probably command. Like, first inning, second inning, second trip through the lineup, blah, 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 blah. No, it's command. Hunter Brown's issue is command. What is Framber Valdez's issue? It's the mental side of the game. Framber Valdez has it all. Framber Valdez has the stuff. Framber Valdez has the movement. When Framber Valdez is rolling, he's the best ground ball pitcher in baseball. Framber Valdez in a critical spot can get swing and miss. He can strike hitters out. He is built like a bulldog that can go deep into games. He has everything. He's a lefty, if you desire lefty. He has everything you want. Everything you want. What is the thing that is the hang up here? What is the why is he a number two when he should be a number one? Why is he a Robin whenever he should be a Batman? Why hasn't he won a Cy Young when he has the stuff that should have has won a Cy Young by now? And I understand he had like a top five finish. Why? What is he missing? What is it? Because it's nothing physical.
No, it's not.
It's all upstairs. It's in the fifth inning, a guy starting to hit me a little bit, and I can't buckle down and get out of the inning. I get called for a balk, and I start giggling on the – who cares? You have a runner at second base with two outs as opposed to a runner at first base with two outs, and you're up by four runs. Who cares that you got called for a balk there? He cannot handle adversity. Why can't he handle adversity? Because he doesn't have it upstairs. He's not mentally strong. He is mentally weak, and because he lacks that aspect of the game – that's the only reason that he is not a tier one, A1 pitcher in baseball. It's why he's a number two. It's why you had to trade for Justin Verlander to be the guy at the top of the rotation. Why? Because he was stinking rattled because he didn't start an all-star game. He is so mentally soft. It is so aggravating because he is so good.
You can't fight it either for you diehard orange Kool-Aid drinking Astros fans, because you said it. We all know it. He's a ground ball pitcher. Ground ball pitchers don't give up air specials on massive home run bombs multiple times in an inning unless they lose focus, unless they decide with their ego and their temperament that my stuff is going to play no matter what. I'm going to throw whatever I want right now because I'm pouting, because I'm ticked off, because I'm mad, because I don't have a my whoobie, and I'm going to sit there and suck my thumb later when I get in the dugout. But until then, I'm going to throw whatever I want, wherever I want, and I'll take it because I'm mad that I gave up hits and it's on me. A ground ball pitcher gave up bombs because he didn't care, because he lost focus, because he didn't have the placement of the baseball where he normally does. You're absolutely right. It has nothing to do with the physical skills, the repertoire of pitches, and the ability to have some of the best stuff in baseball. But if he doesn't fit, we talk about how much money Bregman's cost himself this year when he was got off to the slow start. Frommer's killing himself right now financially too, because this is not the first time that we've seen this. This is not something that other teams aren't going to be aware of, and now more acutely aware of, because he's hunting a contract. And it's going to come up, and it's going to cost him, because it's ridiculous that a grown man with that kind of ability physically can be that weak mentally.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to cost him much, though, because pitcher, like, teams are so pitcher desperate, and like they don't watch it as closely as like we do. They don't watch it as closely as our listeners do. Like, if you're the New York Mets and you're so desperate to have a number two starter, and you see a guy who has a sub-350 ERA and has the stuff of Framber Valdez, you're probably still going to throw big money his way.
Maybe not for as many years.
Yeah, maybe it cost him some. Not to the Bregman extreme. And again, teams are just so desperate for pitchers. 75 says, look like the Joker in Batman, not the Robin. Fair point on that. And you know what's also frustrating about this from like a fan's perspective is whenever you see a really good pitcher, like you see Gerrit Cole, okay, like – that guy's really good. He has unbelievable stuff. I could never have that stuff. You were not blessed with that stuff. You watch Verlander, or same thing. You watch Framber. That guy was blessed with stuff. As a fan, you think that you could do the mental side of it. Because the mental side of it, you're not, you know, you don't need this 98-mile-per-hour fastball. You don't need this sinker that has incredible run. You don't need this slider that wipes off the end of the table, right? The mental aspect, we as like fans think that we're capable of doing. We think that if we had Gerrit Cole's stuff, that we could be Gerrit Cole. Like, I think if I had Framber Valdez's stuff, I would have a better career ERA than Framber Valdez. So that's like an added element that makes things more frustrating. We can live with the fact we don't have the stuff because we frankly don't have the stuff. A lot of like what we do and a lot of listeners, we think we could handle the mental side of the game.
This is the thing, Jeremy. You touched on it. You know how many people have said through the years when you get these people with the crazy physical ability to say, if I just had their ability and my head and my mental capabilities. We always have the name come up because he's a guy that had a ton of ability but lacked in a lot of other areas. I can't tell you how many times that everybody had discussions about, if I had Kelvin Cato's ability, if I had his height, if I had his athleticism, if I had his skill set, I would have the ability to dial it in, to care about basketball, to do things. We're talking about the same thing with Framber Valdez. You know how many pitchers in Major League Baseball that said, if I ever had stuff like that, and I could just cage it, and I could harness it, and I could use it the right way, like I know I'm capable of mentally, I can't tell you how much success I think I would have. And the common fan, you're not wrong in a lot of ways. Now, you haven't had, in a lot of cases, and I don't know what everybody's been through, but you to deal with that kind of stress, those high leverage situations, it is a skill, but at the same time, he has so much and too much physical ability to not be able to be better mentally, and it's sad because there are a ton of people that would kill to have his physical ability.
I think if you had his stuff, you would be have a better career than Palmer.
I would love it.
2585, he has the mental toughness of James Harden in the playoffs, and I think if I was 7'4", I'd be in the NBA. 6381, Framber laughed about it, garbage attitude, has a weak mentality. What about the Angels pitcher last night throwing 73 miles per hour? Is he like Superman mentally tough? He doesn't have the stuff. I don't know which one you're referring to. If you're referring to Reed Detmers, I mean, Reed Detmers got rocked.
Yeah, Detmers wasn't good.
Maybe he's talking about the sidewinding righty.
Suarez?
No, I'm thinking about the second guy.
After Suarez. Suarez,
the guy that threw
two
from down here. Yeah, maybe he does have the mental toughness. Like, think of all the guys with mediocre stuff who have gotten by in big league baseball. And these are usually like the greats that are still pitching late in their career. That are able to put up quality innings late in their career with half of the stuff that they used to have. Like Greg Maddux wasn't near what he was late in his career. Greg Maddux knew how to pitch and was still respectable. Zach Greinke, not so much last year, but maybe the year before. His stuff was completely gone. When he was with the Astros, his stuff was completely gone compared to where it used to be. little know-how, little mental toughness, little know-how to pitch. Framber Valdez lacks all of that, and I think it's the mental element.
I think
of the
on the flip side, look at a guy like Wade Miley, who had times in his career where, like physical ability-wise, it just left him. But he was so good mentally about being able to know what guys can hit, can't hit, what their zones were, that he stayed in games. He keeps making money. He keeps getting contracts. If he had Framber Valdez type physical skills, that's a guy that knows how to harness it mentally and knows how to be able to be mentally strong when you need to be most. And that's something that it's not – sometimes you say it's teachable. Some people, they just don't have the kind of makeup to be able to understand it, use it, and improve with whoever's trying to teach it.
King of Twitch says it's funny the hosts don't acknowledge that Framber has been Framber for his entire career. He has these games, and it is what it is. Last year, Framber was a Cy Young contender. Not really.
Half
Framber,
a year.
Framber, half, like at the halfway point, was the favorite to win. And this is Fromber's MO, because he got upset he didn't start the All-Star game. So he's actually proven our point. King of Twitch didn't realize it. Framber was the betting favorite to win the Cy Young at the halfway point of last year. He finished ninth. He went from 1-9 because he was pouting about the All-Star game. The only year that he's really ever lived up to his potential was 2022, whenever he finished fifth in Cy Young, 2.82 ERA. But what happened that year? He didn't really face adversity. He was in a rocking chair all season long, having quality start after quality start. You punch Framber Valdez in the face with a little bit of adversity, Framber Valdez screws up. Mike Tyson, we think it's Mike Tyson. I don't know if I ever actually heard Mike Tyson say this. Everybody has a game plan until they get punched in the face.
Yes, right.
You know what Framber Valdez happens whenever he gets punched in the face? He abandons the game plan, goes rogue, and creates his own.
When the going gets tough, Framber gets going in a different direction because of his ineptitude in being able to handle the moment, the stress, and the frustration. It is unbelievable, and it's so sad because of the fact that he's so good, because he's got such great stuff. He has top 15-20% stuff in the entire league, both sides, and yet we're here talking about this because, yes, King of Twitch, we've seen it before, and it shouldn't happen. And as you mature as a pitcher and you get older and you get more experience and more playoff experience and more World Series experience, that's one of those things that should go – it should diminish. It should go away. Instead, here we are talking about it because a lead went away, a game got away, and that's one that they could have used last night.
50-46, ha-ha, comparing Valdez to James Harden, Framber got a ring. Little different being a pitcher in a rotation versus the best player on a basketball team. And look, no one's kicking Framber Valdez out of the rotation. He is who he is, and you live with it because he's still stinking good. You just have these blow-up moments, and it's probably not a pitcher that you're going to spend big money and long-term money on. 713-780-ESPN. Cash it or trash it. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I got to tell you about the greatness that is Gentleman. I saw Steve out from Gentleman earlier today. They were making some drinks right after the you finished number 9. Had a Bloody Mary because Gentleman is fantastic, because Gentleman is great. My playing partners, they liked it too. Now, Gilbert, big fan of the Gentleman. Dave, big fan of the Gentleman. Everybody that tries Gentleman is a big fan of Gentleman. Why? Because it's great. It's that simple. A vodka, gin, bourbon, all in that rotation for me, and Gentleman Spirits does it better than anybody else. How? How do they do that? Well, their revolutionary Percedo technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you'll ever taste. Purification of Gentleman is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in Gentleman, including undesirable acids. Who wants undesirable acids in their drinks? No one. These acids take the enjoyment out of your drinks. Gentleman gets rid of the undesirable acids so you can enjoy, so you can have the greatness that is Gentleman. Try a sip of Gentleman vodka, gin, straight bourbon, cash strength bourbon. Compare it to what you drink. You will never go back. I've been a Gentleman man ever since I had that first sip. You get all the flavor, none of the burn. Smooth, clean. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Look for Gentleman at the liquor store. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant, your favorite bar, or head to the Gentleman tasting room. If you're going to an Astros game soon, maybe tonight, stop by the Gentleman bar inside of Minute Maid Park, just to the left of the Crawford boxes. Maybe you like to order your stuff online. I ain't mad at it. Gentleman.com. You can go to Gentleman.com right now, learn about your new favorite, and also order the stuff, order the juice. Gentleman.com. Gentleman, period.
ESPN 97.5.com.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, cash 'em or trash 'em with the killer bees. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. What is your hot take? What is your overreaction? 713-780-3776. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? I'll start today. Scottie Scheffler wins the PGA if he doesn't get arrested.
Ooh.
If Scottie Scheffler wasn't the criminal who's dragging a cop who told him to stop, if he just listened to the policeman, like we should all listen to policemen, Scottie Scheffler wins the PGA if he's never arrested.
That's interesting. Because Schauffele was the wire-to-wire winner, and that's something that was pretty amazing. I don't know if it's done, if it's been done before, but at the same time...
To get arrested and win a major, I don't think so.
No. To win wire-to-wire, you know, with the number...
Probably. I'm sure Tiger's done it. Like, maybe Tiger at the Masters.
Maybe Tiger at Pebble Beach.
Or maybe even the Masters when he left the field.
I'm pretty sure Tiger has gone wire-to-wire.
But again, you know, Schauffele led all four rounds or was tied for the lead. So that would have been a heck of a battle to see how it unfolds. Look, you can't go wrong with Scheffler down the stretch because Xander was known to be a guy that choked it off late, and instead he found a way to win. But that would have been that's interesting. I'm gonna cash that.
Scheffler went 67, 66 after he was doing exercises in a jail cell. His words, not mine. And then I think fatigue set in on Saturday, kind of like, oh, my goodness, what just happened? Shot a 73 in round three, shot a 65 in round four. What does Scottie Scheffler shoot in round three if he doesn't get arrested because of his own wrongdoing?
I think he's in the 60s again. Let's just say 68.
I think that would be his worst round of the week. But 68 would put him at 18 under. He would still lose by three. I think he shoots he's clutch. Scottie Scheffler's the world number one. I think he shoots a 62 on Saturday. That puts him at minus 24. He wins this thing by three shots. So to be in a playoff, he would have had to shoot a 65, which he did shoot on Sunday.
Yeah, look, I think I could cash that because as much as I wanted Xander to win, there's no doubt that I had serious reservations about his ability to close.
Yeah, Scheffler's my favorite golfer in the world, although I'm questioning now that he's a criminal. He still might be my favorite golfer in the world,
That doesn't give him street cred to you?
Street cred's not that important to me.
Wasn't Tiger your favorite?
If I'm being honest. Tiger was never my favorite golfer. Tiger was the most entertaining golfer to watch. Like, Mike Tyson was never my favorite fighter. Because I think Mike Tyson's a scumbag, quite honestly. I think Mike Tyson, he was talking about, I don't even want to say the things he was talking about in the Jake Paul press conference. Mike Tyson's a scumbag. I do not like Mike Tyson. Was Mike Tyson my favorite fighter to watch? The most entertaining? Without a doubt. There's a difference between favorite and entertaining. Tiger was the most entertaining. Scheffler's my current favorite. What do you think? Scheffler win if he doesn't get arrested?
I said yes. I would cash it. He wins it.
I was talking about that, Brian.
Oh,
so what does he need to shoot to on?
I think it was 65 to put himself in a playoff because he shot a 73. He was eight shots back. He would need to shoot a 65. He went 67 in round one, 66 round two, and a 65 in round four.
So he'd have to tie his best round of the weekend. I'm gonna trash that. I think that's a little bit too high of a bar to set. I certainly think he shoots like we talked about in the high 60s, like a 68. I think 65 is a bit much to ask for.
A what?
Whoa!
Did you call Scottie Scheffler the criminal? Now, one thing you have to factor into is how much did it affect his round two. Like, maybe it affected his second round. Maybe he shoots a 64 in round
That's
two,
fair.
And
That's
that
fair.
Number in round
Not
three doesn't have to be
time.
As low.
And now he doesn't need as much on Saturday, right? Yeah, it's certainly possible, but if I'm going to have to pick on this one, I'm going to say trash.
You know, it's funny about Scheffler warming up in front of his round two in a jail cell. I did the same thing this morning. All right, what are you cashing or trashing?
I will say that when all is said and done, at the end of the year, the Mariners will finish third in the division to the Rangers in second and the Astros in first.
Who's finishing second?
So the Mariners will go from leading the division right now to finishing third in the division behind the Astros and Rangers.
I will trash this.
Trash.
I think the Astros win the division. I think the Mariners finish second.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't think the Mariners. I think the Mariners' starting pitching is too good for them to fall into third. I would pick them over a long haul over the Rangers just because of the advantage.
I think the Rangers are going to get pitching back at a certain point. Yeah, but and their offense is good.
You can't count on DeGrom or Scherzer. I mean, they're past the point of you being able to rely on them as guys that are definitely going to be there. So I'm with you that the Astros overcome them and the Mariners don't win the division. But I think I would flip the order Mariners-Rangers.
All right. What do you cash it or trash
it,
Brian?
All right, my cash it or trash it this week is, I'm not even going to have to say this player's name. I'm just going to say the nickname that I gave him, and you guys will know who I'm talking about, at least Jeremy and Joel will. The new hotness will in game one of the Western Conference Finals, go completely off for 40-plus points. And I'm basing this off of a track record we've seen with Anthony Edwards. Okay, I'll go ahead and say the name. When he's had some down games in these playoffs, he's immediately rebounded with a big game. Game 2 against the Suns scored 15, next game was 36. Game 3 against Denver scored 19, next game was 44. So game 7, he goes 6-24, only scores 16. Anthony Edwards, game 1 against the Mavs, Western Conference Finals is going for 40-plus.
I'll trash it right away. I'll jump
trash
in, Jeremy, because of the fact that this is different. You now see the fact that Minnesota was a different team when Denver decided to double. Dallas is a better defensive team up front. And so they can cover Gobert. They can cover Cat. The fact is they're going to try and do whatever they can to take it out of his hands and limit him. I don't think that there's a doubt that he'll still have good numbers. He'll still get good numbers. But I don't think he's going to get 40. I don't know that he's going to get 40 in this series. But I think that he's going to be he's still going to be able to take certain portions of the game over. I think there's going to be a different defensive philosophy with Dallas. And I think that it's going to be at least effective enough that he's not going to score 40 in the first game.
You think Dallas is a better defensive team?
Not because of their guard play, no. I think up front. I think that P.J. Washington, I think Lively, I think those are guys that can neutralize enough the bigs so that you can send multiple wings and guards just to get it out of Edwards' hands. And then whether you rotate or not, I'm going to live with the results a hell of a lot better than I am about Anthony Edwards beating me single-handedly.
Yeah, I'm going to trash this because I don't think they're going to need Anthony Edwards to score 40.
Trash.
I think the Wolves win this game win the series kind of easily.
Really?
I say six. I know maybe that doesn't sound easy, but I don't think they're ever in jeopardy of losing this series. I think the Wolves kind of cruise in six for however you can cruise in six.
Well,
I don't think Edwards has needed to go to... Yeah, I mean...
You could go up 3-1, right. Lose game 5 to make it 3-2, and that's still...
Yeah, I think the Wolves are the better team. I don't think Edwards is going to have to go off like that, especially early in the series. I think he'll try to kind of like ease his way into the series. So I'm going to trash this kind of more of a technicality because I do think he's going to play well. You know, he was mic'd up, said he was going to get in his bag in Game 7 against Denver, and he got in his bag in Game 7 against Denver.
The other thing is late in the game and leading into the fourth quarter, he trusted his teammates. He got a lot of credit for that, and I think he liked the fact that he knows, which a lot of superstars have and young budding superstars have a hard time realizing. It's not just what you do, it's how you make your teammates better. He made his teammates better in the most critical game in their season.
The text line, and some people are tweeting at me too, saying that Scotty didn't have his normal caddy on Saturday. Could have been the reason that he didn't play well Saturday.
Why?
Cash or trash that. He went to like the graduation of his kid.
Oh.
I want to say it was his daughter. But yeah, he went to the graduation of his kid, so he had a temporary caddy. Cash or trash, Scotty's poor third round was more due to not having a caddy or getting arrested the day before round two.
I think he pretty much admitted that it was the fact that when the adrenaline wore off, round three was where he really felt like he wasn't himself and he wasn't in his same routine.
Yeah, I'm trashing this too. Like, if you go look at Scottie Scheffler's round in round three, he wasn't, like, missing his yardage. He wasn't, like, you know, a half a club too far or a half a club too short, or he misreading bunch of putts. His problem on Saturday was he was all over the course. He was spraying it around. He was yanking it left. He was yanking it right. Like, is there a caddy that's forcing Scottie Scheffler not to hit the ball off the fairway left or right? I don't think so. I think his problem was more fatigue than anything caddy related on Saturday. So I'm going to trash that one.
Yeah, I would trash that as well. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, going to jail, I think that's far more of a disruption to his routine and schedule that would lead to a lesser performance than the caddy being out. I mean, he's the world's number one. He knows his yardage, as Jeremy said.
Yeah, I mean, you can find some caddy related things. Like maybe you're a little bit short on, you know, your number's 143. And he's giving you a club for 135. Like, that's caddy-related. But whenever you're yanking the ball all around and you're hitting the ball right and left,
spraying
that's not
caddy-related.
Yeah. Like, you're getting trouble off the tee. How does the caddy fix that? He's not your swing coach. 713-780-ESPN. Who are the most vulnerable defending division champs in the NFL? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Highland Pines on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for the good people at X-Golf. Look, X-Golf is absolutely fantastic. Best golf simulators that I have found in the Houston area. I'm not lying. I'm not making it up. I'm not saying that because I speak for them. It's because I've experienced them. I've been on them. And I'm telling you, the one thing that a lot of golf simulators struggle with, the accuracy and the real life kind of ability to translate putting and chipping from the course onto the simulator. The putting is fantastic and realistic. The chipping is absolutely the same kind of touch and feel that you're going to use. You can use your own golf balls as well that you have in your bag, load them up in the simulator so that the feel and the accuracy and that the actually when you're actually getting repetitions in, that it's as close to being on the course as possible while you're inside, in the air conditioning, in the best environment you could possibly imagine. Because it's the best combination of an unbelievable sports bar with great food and drink and tons of TVs in a clean atmosphere with the best simulators in the area and the only X-Golf simulators in the area. Go to X-Golf KD online right now. They've got all kinds of things going and events happening all the time and specials throughout the week, from drink specials to specials on simulators and other things. But the fact is, once you go there once, especially as a golf fan and a golfer, you're going to go there again and again because maybe you missed your tee time because of the weather. Maybe you want to hit some balls at night. It's the best place to go, and you are going to be able to track all of your shots. The distance, the spin, the direction, it's all capable of doing it. And you can play up to 50 courses around the world right there or use it like a driving range. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to xgolfkatie.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter.
Great track. Great track. You're ever in the area, come play some Highland Pines. It was a lot of fun. Great track. You'll certainly enjoy it. 713-780-ESPN. He's blank on Branham. Who are the most vulnerable defending division champs in the NFL? You got Tampa Bay, you got Dallas, you got Buffalo, you got Baltimore, you have Houston, you have Detroit, you have San Francisco, you have Kansas City. Who are the most vulnerable division champions from a year ago?
I think to me it comes down to, I think first and foremost it's the Buffalo Bills. I think you lose Diggs. You lose some defensive guys. You lost Micah Hyde. You lost Poyer. You lost, you had to try and restructure Von Miller, and I don't think Von Miller is the guy that he was in the past. I think you took away, as good or bad as Josh Allen is at you know, making guys better and or, you know, turning over the football or not, he was helped a lot by Gabe Davis and Diggs and a lot of quality wide receivers. They're trying to rebuild the wide receiver room. They're trying to adjust on the fly. And the rest of the division, at least with one team in my mind, is better. I think Miami's not going anywhere. And I think that as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Jets have done everything in their power this entire offseason, both with free agency and the draft, to give him the offensive line, all the weapons, and try to maintain as much of the defense as they possibly can. I think the Buffalo Bills are extremely vulnerable. I think they're looking to take a step back as much as they think they might be set to take a big step forward.
I think Buffalo's on the short list. I don't have really any druthers against you saying Buffalo. I would ask who wins the division, though.
I think that I it's between Miami and the Jets, and I think that, honestly, I think that if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, I think on both sides of the football it's a more balanced unit. I think the Jets win the division.
I hate that you said that.
Why?
I'm actually bullish on the Jets, and it scares me a little bit.
I understand.
It scares me a little bit because Aaron Rodgers is coming off a torn Achilles at his advanced age, but I mean, offensively, you're looking at Breece Hall at running back. You got Garrett Wilson at receiver. They brought in Mike Williams, who's fine. I know he's coming off an injury, but he's fine. And then you counter that with a defense that's really stinking good. If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy and be like 80, 85% of who we think Aaron Rodgers can be, I think that the Jets win the division.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think that, look, he doesn't have to be the guy that he was a lot of years in Green Bay where he shouldered the majority of the load offensively. And he just has to make sure that he utilizes the guys. Like, to me, when you have Wilson and Breece Hall, you have two young guys that can do so much for you. And the running game is actually – the fact that they spent the money they did and committed the resources that were necessary with the draft to get their offensive line in order, that is so key. Because now, as long as you protect him, the biggest question I have is going to be, can Williams stay healthy? Because he's been dinged up a lot.
Yeah.
But they gave him more weapons. They gave him the line that they sorely needed to give him. And there's weapons all over the field for a guy that's, when he's able to sit in the pocket, he's gonna pick you apart.
I like their roster. I think it's really good. But if Rodgers gets hurt, their season's tanked. If he stays healthy, I think they win this division. I still think Buffalo's gonna be fine. Like, I think Buffalo's a playoff team. I would probably still have Buffalo ahead of Miami without doing a deep dive on their schedule.
I think Miami's. I was just gonna say I have Miami a little bit above Buffalo.
See, I like Buffalo's defense better. I know Miami was injured last year, and I also don't put a whole lot of value in them losing Diggs because of who their quarterback is. Like, Josh Allen is a super freak athlete, and I think he's kind of wide receiver proof because of the way he plays. Because I think he's capable of having a 4-touchdown game, running for 100 yards. My problem with Josh Allen's more that he is a turnover machine in critical games, and that you can't win 3 playoff games in a row with a turnover-prone quarterback in Josh Allen. But even if you go to the second half of last year, Buffalo, like, they were taking Diggs out of the equation a lot. So I feel stronger about Buffalo than you do, but slightly, and I think the Jets win this division. This list had Tampa Bay at number one. I can't get behind Tampa Bay, though, because, like, the division sucks.
That's what I was thinking. Like, who's going to beat them?
Exactly.
What, is Atlanta? I'll give you Atlanta has a chance because of getting a true quarterback, a regular season above-average quarterback for sure, no matter how much you may not like Kirk Cousins in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, with all those weapons offensively, makes them an offensive team capable of being better than the Buccaneers. And defensively, they have a lot of talent. Defensively, they've spent a lot of draft capital on talent. They have talent on defense. If Cousins can just game manage and do what he does, I think that Atlanta has the best chance to upset or unseed Tampa Bay.
Assuming he is the starting quarterback.
I think he is.
Yeah, I can't go Tampa because of the division being lousy. My answer, and I hate doing this because I think their head coach is a jabroni, is the NFC East. I don't see Dallas repeating. I think Philadelphia gets back on top. I think it was kind of fluky that Dallas won the division last year. Sorry, Cowboy fans. What they did at the running back position, I think, is criminal. I think the way that they handled the offseason is criminal. I don't think they have anywhere near as talented a roster as Philadelphia. That said, it is a two-team division. I'm not concerned about the Commanders. I'm not concerned about the Giants. But if I had to bet on one team or one division, I have the Eagles jumping the Cowboys and winning the NFC East. So that would be my answer. Brian, do you have a different one?
No, I mean, the three answers that came to mind immediately to me were the Bills, Bucks, and Cowboys. So we've kind of already covered it. I don't really even see another option that I even like all that much, unless you think the Ravens are going to take a step back, and I don't really see it. Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys are repeating as division champs here. I mean, they added what in the offseason? I mean, if you're not improving, you know, you're taking a step back, in my opinion. They don't have a second receiver next to CeeDee Lamb. I mean, Brandon Cooks is fine, but he's older and he's always on the field. I don't think you can ask for a repeat of what Dak did last year. Dak went on an absolute heater that is not his common statistical output in most seasons. Plus, you lose your running game. You replace it with Zeke, who's 1,000 years old. The Eagles, you know, replace their coordinators. I think they're going to take a step forward. I don't see the Cowboys repeating as division champs here.
You guys are idiots. The owner said they're in go-for-it mode. I mean, look at what they did to enhance and back up his words, since he's also the general manager, to put the Cowboys in go-for-it mode.
You mean, like, tell the world they want Jonathan Brooks so that a team takes Jonathan Brooks in front of them?
He had to have been bluffing.
I don't know.
This list has Tampa, Dallas, Buffalo. They have Baltimore ahead of Houston. Let's focus on that. If you had to pick one team that does not win the division, Baltimore or Houston?
Houston.
I'm sorry, but my answer is Houston.
You got two competitors because Jacksonville ain't bad, and the Colts are getting their quarterback back, but the Colts are loaded everywhere else. They've been really good without, and the quarterback's been their biggest issue. There's no doubt they have two competitors as opposed to Browns?
Cincinnati,
you're right.
That division's solid. Like, the worst team in the division's not bad. Where you expect Tennessee to be the worst team in this division, right, which was not good. But I think Baltimore still has a better team than the Texans. I think their roster's a little bit better. Gun to my head, if I had to pick one team more likely to win the division, I would have Baltimore ahead of the Texans.
Because they're a good regular season team.
I think I would disagree with that, not because the Ravens aren't better than the Texans. They certainly are. They proved it on the field twice last season. But I think when you're looking at these two divisions, the AFC South, I don't think has a team that can leap, that can get to 12 wins and leap the Texans, even if they have a good 11-win season. Whereas you look at the AFC North, certainly with Joe Burrow, if he's healthy, and maybe that's assuming a bit too much, I think they have the capability of running off a 13-win season. And even if the Ravens are really good at 12-5, then jumping them the AFC North. And you can even make the same argument for the Browns, who won 11 games last year with Joe Flacco as their quarterback half the year. So
yeah, that was an upgrade. He was playing better than their normal quarterback.
I was going to say, the biggest mistake was Cleveland let Flacco walk out the door for a guy you can't trust in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I just think there's a more of a chance. It's not so much that the Texans are better than the Ravens. It's just the teams that could jump them, I think, are more capable of jumping the division winner last year in the AFC North than they are in the AFC South.
Texts are saying Zeke is younger than Calvin Ridley. I think he thinks that's a flex. They're different positions. Receivers that become like closer to 30 years old, they can sustain their level of production far greater than running backs that are approaching 30 years old. Plus, Zeke hasn't been very good last year. That said, I do think Calvin Ridley's a little overrated. So, like,
I don't mind you saying that, but in terms of guys, age is just a number when your tank is very much full. I think Ridley has so much more football left in him and has so much more ability, and because he plays a position where he still has speed and he still can get open, as opposed to we've seen what Zeke has become, and it's awful. And he's been through multiple – that's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere between where you are saying. Like, I mean, this guy didn't give a stance on Zeke. I don't think Zeke is awful. I think there's a place in the league for Zeke, but I think it's probably as a third down running back.
Short yardage,
I don't think he should be a number one running back on an NFL team. Tampa Bay should be in the conversation. Atlanta can make a run for the NFC South over Tampa, but the drawback is that Atlanta has a suspect defense that Josh from Seabrook. 2585, one word answer here. What about the Lions with the Packers looking good so far? Looking good this year?
I mean, one word?
Yeah, yes or no, I guess.
No.
Yeah, I'm no on this. I like Detroit's roster. That was more than a word. Keith from L.A., the 49ers are overrated and vulnerable. That's your trash.
I think that's ridiculous.
Save that for Thursday.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's from a Rams fan.
There we go. A little bit biased.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HR&P listener line. Yesterday we had a texter that said a bunch of different wide receiver rooms that were better than the Bears. Was he right? And let's give one outside the box great wide receiver room. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at a lot of things. But me personally, my experience with Doc Linville is all about the Neograft procedure. It gets your hair back. It's unbelievable. It's true. It's your own hair. It basically busts all of the different sprays and creams and foams and gimmicky things out of the water and legitimizes the fact that when he says it, he means it. You get your hair back, and it's in spots where you need it most. He explained the process to me. He said, Joel, sit down with me. Let me explain it to you. I sat down, and I found out that you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. So what he does is he basically takes some of that hair and puts it where you need it most. Think about it in your yard, taking some sod from one area, putting it in another where it's burnt out, and getting a more full cut and a better covered lawn that looks better and has a better appearance, and you have more confidence because your yard looks great. That's the basic way you can equate it. The fact is the Neograft procedure is a game changer. And as you listening to us and interested in Doc Linville, you get a free consultation like I had with Doc Linville and his staff that normally costs $150 for people off the street just by going to 975hair.com. Go to 975hair.com right now, set up an appointment. There's nothing coming out of your pocket, no signing on the dotted line, no commitments to be made, just a question and answer session after they explain the procedure to you to see if it might be the right thing for you to do. It was right for me. I did it. I saw the results immediately because I could see the follicles. I just didn't realize in 6 to 9 months when those follicles become stronger and longer and you realize they're coming from a place they're never going away, that was a true game changer that I couldn't have even imagined. I could not be happier with the procedure and the fact that Doc and his staff do it better, in my opinion, than anybody else. You could be next in line. Just go to 975hair.com, set up an appointment, and see what I'm talking about.
ESPN.
97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.